everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. I'm Ty Tuesday. With me, as always, is Miss Shadow Lovely and Slowby.
Yo.
Hey, gang.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, we're here to talk about episode 6 of season 4, Bullseye, which, yeah, really, really dumb element they introduced to this, huh? Out of nowhere. Wild. Yeah, so, hey, I know we all felt a little wild after Pink Cupcakes, and we maybe need to, like, turn it back a bit. So you might think everything happens so fast in Pink Cupcakes. Would you believe me, dear listener, if I told you this episode starts with them just leaving out an episode?
Yeah.
It kind of does, right?
Yes, it absolutely.
I'm not joking. I think I put in our group chat, like, I had to check like 5 separate times to make sure I had not accidentally, because I've done that before. You know, like, to be clear, I've done that before. Accidentally, like, clicked on the wrong episode and been like,
yeah.
Oh, this feels weird. There's like a lot of stuff I don't recognize.
Oh,
that,
yeah, or
that,
like,
was not here.
I'll watch the episode for the week, leave it running, it'll play the first 10 seconds of the next episode, and then when I come back the next week, I'm like, oh, okay, I already watched this, and go to the wrong one. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, no,
but
absolutely.
No, this episode just feels like that. You didn't do it, it just feels like you did.
We all independently, I feel like, wrote that, like, I think I thought I had the wrong episode at first, because it feels like you have the wrong episode every time. It's so weird.
There is a lot of, like, because, like, there's that, like, it's so hard to, like, verbalize, but there is some stuff that can happen off screen, and you can be like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I didn't need my handheld for that. Like, that's a logical conclusion based on the context clues, based on, you know, other stuff we've seen leading up until now. But so much happens in this episode where there was not any context to lead up to it. So you're
mm-hmm.
like, okay, well, when we're on episode 6, when did this happen? When we've had none of this until now, what do you mean? Especially when it comes to a lot of decisions and a lot of relationships between characters that previously did not exist or even were hinted at. And I mean, like, I'm not even, like, being ungenerous to American Horror Story because it's American Horror Story. I mean,
right.
Like, they straight up did not hint at 3 of these relationships at all. And then they're like, yeah, idiot, of course. This is how it's always been. Are you stupid? yeah.
Like, I guess, yeah, I guess I was stupid. Yes. Yeah, I don't know what the hell they're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, do we care about this? Like, are we supposed to care about this? Like, what is this supposed to be making me feel besides confused? Because it's not like, is it supposed to be a twist?
I'll admit, too, like, sometimes, like, I'll watch an episode and I'm, like, a little distracted with something, you know, and then I'm like, oh, my bad, I must have screwed this up. But this, you know what I mean? It's like, I feel like they're trying to blame me for something that I know is their fault here, you know, and it's not fair, American Horror Story.
It's almost like a reverse draw the rest of the owl. Like, they're handing you a picture of a complete owl, and they're like, yeah, you drew this, and you're like, what? I didn't, though,
I didn't,
and you're like,
I did,
well,
I absolutely
you did, though.
Didn't. No, you did, yeah.
And that's just the relationships, which we'll get there, but, like, they decide to introduce a new element. I don't know what to call it other than an element, a plot device, literal, in the beginning of this, where they once again conflate magicians and circuses and freak shows. I frequently refer to it as circus, and also in my notes call it a circus, but it bears repeating. This is not a circus. It's a freak show. So less, like, involved than a circus is usually, with less attractions, per se, less performers of, like, the performing nature, like trapeze artists and whatnot. And it's definitely not a magic show. What it definitely isn't is a magic show. But they've conflated magic shows and circuses and freak shows again. And Elsa is like, bring out my special wheel, the wheel that I love, my special spinning wheel that everyone adores.
Oh, yeah.
And welcome to the first weird, strange relationship they just kind of plop in out of nowhere. Elsa with her weird, fucked up wheel.
Yeah. Like,
yeah.
And also Ethel.
Oh,
Ethel
yeah.
brings a weird
I'm
vibe.
Always talking, I'm always talking about how much I love my wheel.
Yeah,
you all remember,
that is,
right?
That
Me
is,
talking about mm-hmm. my wheel?
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That is literally like the attitude she has while giving this voiceover about her wheel. It's like, yeah, idiots, this has been my whole thing, my whole deal since episode 1 is I'm the wheel guy. Like, the wheel is my thing. I throw knives at the wheel.
And, you know, like, remember, like, with Edward Mordrake, too, it's like a thing they all knew and you, the audience, don't, so they have to explain it to people. But here they kind of just treat it like, yeah, the wheel. You know, like, oh, yeah, the wheel. Elsa's always doing the wheel.
Obviously, Elsa does the wheel, obviously.
Yeah.
And like,
also, can we just say, the American Horror Story writers cannot be trusted with something that is so direct of a metaphor and or simile to the Wheel of Fortune. Like, they can't be trusted with that.
I think she even, like, says that, like, several times during the episode. Like, the Wheel of Fate or the Wheel of Fortune. Especially in a later scene where she gives a huge fucking speech for no reason. Also, it starts with them bringing out her wheel that we all obviously know about, and giving, like, a voiceover as they're doing it about how, like, she's the master of her own destiny. Elsa, in case it's not obvious where this is headed, in case you're wondering, Elsa's going to become a different character starting this episode. Like, still kind of the same framework, but she will be functionally a completely different character than she has been for the first six episodes. And she gives a speech.
She's
about,
like, not into the singing that much anymore, yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah, she's like, no, I'm the wheel guy. Obviously, I do the wheel. That's my thing. I do the wheel.
Have I not mentioned wheels, mein Liebchen? Yeah, and for some reason, this episode in particular, I can't stand how she, like, just lapses into German for no reason. Yeah. Which, like,
and French.
I get.
And
but...
French. She does it with French too at one point, and it's like, well. Are you French? Like, why, I understand the German, but why French?
Also, it just feels like it would be a really bad time in America to have a habit of just slipping into German. That feels like that'd be a good-ass way to get hit, like, anywhere, at any time. Or at least, like, they'd spit in your food, you know?
Yeah, yeah. It pisses off one character in episode one, but then it, like, never comes up again. Like, he's like, don't speak German in front of me. And then that we never see that guy ever again because she gives him a blowjob or whatever, and then he lets them live on their property.
Yeah, I forgot about it.
But, yeah, so she now doesn't give a shit about singing anymore. She'll sing again this episode, but, like, that's not her deal. She won't be, like, performing. It's just for us because we have to sit through another musical number. But, yeah, she's, like, imagining throwing knives at all of the freaks in the freak show for some reason, which seems a little counterproductive to everything that we know about her. But it's fine because the rest of the episode will also be counterproductive to everything that we know about her. So it's fine.
Yeah.
Elsa has always secretly hated everyone in the sideshow.
Yeah.
Always. That's a thing that's been happening. Duh.
Yeah. You know, but, that's right. Been an ongoing source of conflict is that she, you know what? Sorry, I just had a Jimmy Neutron brain blast moment. Del's not in this episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just
right.
Gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got bored.
Yeah. He's not even, like, mentioned. Like, we had his whole deal with, like, his, like, gay boyfriend and, like, his love interest getting murdered. Okay.
That's Michael Chiklis saying, like, I can do better than this show. This is not, I'm not the fucking Shield, all right? Get the hell out of here.
And to be clear, I'm not saying, like, he's not in this episode and, like, they mention he's gone. Like, I don't think anybody even, like, mentions him this episode. Nah, he's just, like, not there.
Neither side of that relationship, Desiree or Del, appear or are mentioned at all. Which, yeah, last episode they had a whole thing about, like, you had an abortion, you can have, and they're just gone.
Yeah.
Just gone, not here.
Okay. Well, the good news is, it, like, they weren't super relevant to the story anyway, but also, like, it did add, I think it compounded the issue of me being like, did I miss an episode? Because, like, they straight up do not, like, acknowledge his existence at all.
Nope.
Strange. I'm just now putting two and two together. Anyway, Ethel comes out while Elsa's setting up the wheel, and Ethel's like, also Ethel has a weird vibe this episode of being like, I'm Elsa's best friend and confidant, which is like, not what she's really been up until now.
She becomes like a weird crony baby. Everybody seems to really trust Elsa out of nowhere this episode, because the turn they have Elsa take doesn't function unless inexplicably everybody trusts her immensely as though she is the incredible leader. Elsa, by the way, in case you were wondering, is just no longer going to be, like, kind of airheaded, funny, and, like, you know, means well, but isn't fully aware or doesn't fully grasp everything that's going on. It's kind of being taken for a ride by everyone around her. Mm. Nope. Now she's like hyper competent.
I'm a real piece of shit. Yeah, like absolutely. Yeah. Just
we were running out of antagonists because we had like three for most of the season so far, and we got rid of one of them. And then the other one is going to completely shift their motivations this episode. And then our other one's kind of just like missing. We had four, actually. Sorry. The other one's kind of just like missing. And Elsa wasn't like quite an antagonist yet. So like we really had to hammer home that she is one this episode. Even though she would have, kind of no like reason to be, well, either way, Ethel is her, like, weird best friend now, and she's like, why did you... I'm not doing her fucked up accent.
Why'd you bring out your whole wheelbarrow?
Yeah.
No, I'm not even gonna try.
What did you do without me, Elsa?
And
Elsa got there, throwing knives. Like, what are you saying?
But yeah. And Elsa responds, oh, yeah, you know, just thinking about how I used to throw knives at carnies in my youth. That was, like, my job. And it's like, what do you mean that was your job? You were a dominatrix. We saw that was your job.
Yeah. Like, were you moonlighting as someone who, like, throws knives at carnies? Or did you just, like, lie to Edward Mordrake and you've always been, like, a carny? Like, what are you talking about? Also, she says carnies, which we've now added a fourth wrong thing. Magic show, circus, and carnival are not a freak show. We're not in the right place.
No.
So pick yeah, she side. Says she's like she's by the way, she says she's done this since her youth. Spoiler alert. That's not how that particular magic trick works. Like you're not just like real good at knives. That's not how that works.
You're not throwing knives. Like, that's the whole like, conceit of it, is that it's supposed to seem dangerous, but not be dangerous, unless, you know, you're...
Yeah. There's things in the back of the board that pop out, and you never actually throw the knives. You just sell as though you are throwing them. Yeah.
So, I think this is, like, confirmation for us, as the podcasters and also the viewers, that the American Horror Story writers believe magic is real. Like, when they see David Blaine, they're like, yeah, it's real. It's real.
Holy shit, that guy just caught a bullet in his teeth.
Yeah.
We should try that.
We gotta work that in.
Yeah, that's just
Ryan,
real.
Ryan, get on the horn. Yeah, absolutely.
It does explain their weird conflation with, like, fictional dwarfs and, like, actual people from a previous episode, I guess. Like, they just think fiction is real. They're just
God,
yeah.
I forgot.
Can't trust those guys always digging for rare ores and singing.
Yeah, that explains a lot, actually, about this whole show.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, and then Ethel's like, hey, it sucks that the twins are gone. And then Elsa's like, it doesn't matter. We're all going to be on TV. I'm putting all of us on TV. That's why I'm throwing knives at this, because they would definitely let me do this on TV. There would be no issues with me throwing knives at a real human being on television.
That's all Johnny Carson loves, is just knife throwing all the time.
And then randomly, like, and I mean, like, frequently the dialogue in this show is very disjointed and feels like people talking in spite of each other instead of to each other. But this in particular is, like, one of the most egregious cases of have a character say a fact out loud that they never would say to the person they're talking to. It's only for the benefit of the person watching. And she's like, it's your birthday this week, Elsa. And it's like, okay. Thanks, Ethel. That's so cool. Thank you, Ethel.
Yeah, no.
I guess you couldn't have, like, provided clever context clues for us. Otherwise, you just had to come out and have Ethel tell Elsa it's her birthday this week and that everyone's making her presents and stuff.
Also, the Elsa birthday plot sucks. I'll just put it in advance. Yeah. They really could have done anything else to get here.
To get where? Okay. I'll go one further. I don't think it goes anywhere. I think this it being her birthday could be completely divorced from this plot and nothing would change.
She wouldn't get to yell about trinkets.
Oh, that's so true. That's valid.
No, really, you're right, though. It ain't shit.
Nah, yeah,
it ain't shit here.
All right, buckle up.
So, It's her birthday, and this is where I felt like I got hit in the head with a brick out of nowhere. Because we're back at the Mott house, and Dandy's mom is giving him condoms. At first, I thought it was just like boxes of matches, but apparently, no, it's ye old rubbers. and Dandy's like very mad about this, and it's like, I would never sully the twins. I love the twins. And it's like, no, it, like, you can have sex with people. That's cool. it's, if they're into it, it's fine, man.
Yeah, but remember, the end of the last episode ended with Elsa dropping, which, by the way, I don't have a note about this, but it ends with Elsa dropping the girls off with the twins off at the Mott house. The twins are not like... they're capable human adult people. Like,
right, yeah,
if they didn't want this, they could have just been like, I'm leaving. We're leaving together as one unit. Bye. I don't like this. Like, there's not... they don't know Dandy's like a murderer. So, like, there's not the inherent threat of, like, oh, we got to keep this guy happy or he's going to kill us. They don't know that he's a murderer. So, like...
yeah.
Why would the twins stay if it fucking sucks?
Liz, I just can't believe as an accidental aside, you came up with a plot thread that is so much more interesting than anything that happens in this episode. Like, I was just thinking, like, it would be really good if they thought they had to keep him happy and stuff, you know? But, like, this, yeah, no, that doesn't happen.
No. You know why it doesn't happen? Because inexplicably, in between the last episode and this episode, which, by the way, we're roughly 2.5 minutes into this episode, Dandy has fallen irrevocably in love with the twins. And I mean, like, fully, like, Edward Twilight,
His mother offered him condoms, and he got, like, really mad about it because she didn't want him to get them pregnant, and he is all of a sudden going to fully stand up to his mother and insist he's going to marry them. Like, that level of... this was all off screen.
Yes. And, like, this is the most, like, I don't know how to describe it. Like, he's been very animated and very, like, passionate about things before, but this is one of the first and only times, if not the first and only time, we've ever seen him, like, throw a quote-unquote tantrum, but, like, in a mature way. Like, he's, like, standing up to his mom, but he's not doing it in the weird, whiny, like, petulant little baby man way. He's just like, no, I love the twins.
He's, like, thinking he's like, and making points.
He's, like, not in character is what I think I would describe it. Because also, wasn't it one episode ago, we get this little internal monologue of his where he's talking about how he's going to be the best at murder. It was, like, a whole fake Patrick Bateman thing.
It's fine. Yeah. Fell in love immediately. Okay. He saw the twins and fell in love immediately. You guys remember when they went to the freak show and he saw the twins and he was like, mother, I'm in love with the twins. You guys remember that? Oh, wait, no, I'm being handed a note. That never happened.
that didn't happen. Yeah, it didn't happen. Whoops.
Jonathan Frakes is telling me they made it up. It's bullshit. It's a fabrication.
So now you know that has happened off screen. Dandy is madly in love with the twins. Great. So now back to it. And, we cut back to the circus freak show carnival magician stand.
Whatever we're doing for jobs.
Fortune telling booth?
Yeah.
Like, whatever we are.
Throne.
And everyone is, like, approaching Elsa one at a time on her birthday throne and being like, my queen, I offer gifts of frankincense and myrrh.
Yeah, it's seriously like that. It's so weird.
Game of Thrones.
Ethel gives her some makeup. Paul, the illustrated seal, gives her lingerie, and she has a little, like, oh, Paul, you card, like, kind of thing. And then, gives her Ma Petite in a box. This is where we're just going to put a big flashing. If this was a video element, the screen would just be full screen flashing. Ma Petite is a grown adult woman. this is going to be such a problem for the next rest of this episode. Because Eve's gift is Ma Petite in a little, like, crocheted hot water bottle cover. With, like, no arms or legs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they just are like, here you go. It's like a little hot water bottle.
please ignore the agency of this woman.
Like, if Stanley could look at it and be like, this is fucked up. I'm kind of helping her, frankly.
I was just going to kill her. Yeah, fuck.
Jeez. Okay,
oh,
well.
Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. I cannot overstate, especially if you're not watching along with us. Like, the whole conceit of why Ma Petite would be at the freak show is because she is an adult woman the size of a baby. If she was just a baby, this would just be a baby they would be carrying around the freak show for no reason. So it's imperative that everyone knows that this is a grown adult woman who is the size of a baby. Otherwise, she wouldn't be here.
and she's into it, which makes it like a little weird for me, like where she's just like, I'll keep you warm, you know, I forget what she calls her, but like
oh, Miss Elsa.
That's it, yeah, that's right. And it's just like I don't like this. Not in a horror way, but I just don't enjoy it.
When I say that, like, it's super weird and I don't understand why they don't understand that she's a grown adult woman, I mean the writers, not the characters in the show. Because, like, they write Ma Petite to act like a child as well. And I'm like, but then she's just a child. It's just a child. And it's not, like, a special thing. So why would she be there? Anyway. Yeah. Elsa,
she's also a real person,
it.
But anyway, yeah, sorry. Yeah, there's no special effects here, by the way, but whatever.
This is one of the authentic castings where this is actually the world's smallest woman. She is, like, a real person who is a grown adult woman.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have been so weird on set for her. That must have been so weird.
Yeah.
Well.
So, everyone is not happy enough, which Elsa is upset about, because it's her birthday throne day, and you're supposed to worship the queen on the birthday throne day and be very happy. To which, I can't even who responds first, but they're just like, we're sad that the twins just vanished. Like, they just left. Which, the twins were shitty to everybody.
Right?
And even Jimmy had moved on. Even Jimmy's like, this one's even more fuckable. Like, you know, like, Jimmy, like, let's call it what it is. My boy Jimmy traded up. So, like, he's also out on this. Like, everybody's out on this. No one really liked the twins. And the twins weren't even the star of the show anymore. Well, the show needs you to believe that everybody loved the twins and is very sad that they're gone. Elsa.
Listen,
then,
they were no meep, but.
No meep.
Everyone loved them.
Perish the thought, yeah.
So, Elsa then just, like, flips the fuck out at everybody for being sad, and they're like, well, you know, we're just thinking about the, we're worried about the twins. Just like, don't you think about the twins. Stop thinking about the twins. Don't ever think about the twins. Which is like, my I didn't do anything malicious to the twins shirt is getting me asked a lot of questions that I feel like are answered by my shirt. Yeah.
Yep.
Like, the panic is so bad. So then they cut to Elsa and Paul, who are fucking, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
new. Yeah.
You
know,
pretty sure that's
new. We all know, and we've been talking about every episode, the love interest between Elsa and Paul, the illustrated seal, the thing that we've always been talking about, and is a key element.
I keep forgetting. I forgot we always talk about them. I'm sorry. That was my bad.
Yeah, they're always fucking on screen. In fact, it's weirder for them to not be fucking. Wait, I'm being handed a note. These two characters have canonically never spoken until now. And that's a fact. That's a goddamn fact that these two characters have never spoken in the show until this moment.
Incredible.
Or the laundry moment, rather. we catch up with them post-fucking. Like, they have, like, a very intimate conversation, and she's like, oh, don't go falling in love with me. That's not what we do. And it's like, okay, all
right. Yeah,
that's,
right?
Like, that's fine, I guess. And then she goes,
thanks for the warning.
She's like, does anybody know about us? And he gives, like, a joke answer, I think, of like, no, they think I'm coming in every night to put a mint on your pillow. But I'm like, the answer is no. Nobody does know, including us, the audience, who has been watching the show up until now. I just want everyone to remember, just lock it away in your little mind palaces, that Elsa, in this scene specifically, is like, hey, don't catch feelings. We're not like that. In fact, when I go to Hollywood, I'm going to fuck another guy, probably. And you're going to have to pretend to... Yeah, you got to be my chauffeur or something.
You're going to drive us around, maybe even while we're fucking. So, you know what I mean? Like, just let's clear that up.
So just remember that. That's the dynamic that they have, is that she very clearly is going to fuck other people and has made that clear.
And I'm reading your notes, or no, reading something you said in the Discord, I had this almost out loud exclamation of, oh my God, you're right. Because I think, like, after they're done, right, or whatever, does it happen here? Like,
it's this scene. There's downtime. Just making
sure. This conversation. Yes, there it is. Yes, so, like, it legitimately is. Yeah. So they stand up and go, like, okay, yeah, no, it's fine. Because he's like, oh, you can learn to drive. You can drive us around. He's like, yeah, fine, whatever. And then she's just like, okay, well, before you leave, can you grab me that grown-ass woman who's tied up in a water bottle crochet? Who's just in the corner in a cuck chair the whole time?
Fucking amazing. Because, yeah, no, it didn't even hit me. I'm like, oh my God, she is just in the room for that. Because she's in a box in the room while they're banging. So she's just in a box, which is already messed up. But also in a room while they're banging.
How is this? How is this happening? A hot water bottle in the cook chair. This sucks.
Yeah, no arms, no legs, just bad vibes.
Oh my God.
Having a bad time dressed as a hot water bottle in the cook chair at the freak show AMA. Oh my God. And as if that's not whiplash enough, we immediately cut to another relationship that we have no idea about, which this one also involves Paul, because apparently Paul's been fucking Penny this whole time. Who's Penny? Everyone just asked in unison. The nurse that they blackmailed from the first episode, who they got addicted to opium and forced into an orgy. Remember her?
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. He goes to her house and climbs up the side of the window, Romeo and Juliet style. How? He doesn't have, like, arms.
Built different.
Okay.
Talented.
Yeah, fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Uses his beautiful face.
Oh, is that why they wanted us to know how hot he was? Because he gets, gets a lot of puss. Is that it?
And I'm gonna be less hot because I keep climbing ladders with me damn teeth.
Oh, yeah. And he crawls into her bed with her, and she's like, "Ah, oh, the love of my life, Paul the Illustrated Seal. Of course, everyone knows that this is my beloved Paul the Illustrated Seal. I love you so much." And he's like, "I love you too. We're obviously in love. We are two characters who have been noted to interact with each other. Hold on, I'm being handed a note. We have not spoken."
Cannot stop talking about us. That's right. You know, yeah, absolutely.
And then she's like, "Hey, do you want to?" Well, she doesn't say, like, "Hey, do you want to have sex?" Like, she tries to initiate sex, and he's like, "I want you to know me as a man first." I'm like, "Listen, Paul the Illustrated Seal, we are way past that." We are way past this part of the relationship with you guys. We need, like, you need to wrap this up, literally and figuratively.
Dandy's got a few if you need to borrow, actually. Yeah.
And then they're, like, they're in love or whatever, but, like, mm-hmm. she lives with her dad even though she's, like, 35. And her dad's, like, shitty and is like, "Who are you talking to in there?" And, like, barges in. And she's like, "No one, Daddy. I was listening to the radio." And I'm like, "You're 35. I know things were different in the 50s or whatever, but 35's like, I think you could probably move out. Like, I think you could probably find somewhere to go." Because, like, the implication, like, they have her acting like she's a teenager, like a troubled teenager.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. This is her dad. They have her act like she's 16. It's really weird. This is like one of the highlight moments of me, of I had to double check what age this character is supposed to be, which has happened more than a few times this season. I mean, fuck, Ma Petite, they do it all the time. But,
yeah, right.
Like, this is one case definitely of, like, I was like, is this character supposed to be, like, 17? Wasn't she volunteering as a nurse? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, it's also like, If that is supposed to be a teenager, not a great look for Paul the Illustrated Seal or the Freak Show, if we're being honest.
Or the show that we're watching, actually. Yeah. But yeah, you're right.
Because, like, she straight up says to Paul, like, "Oh, you had no trouble having sex with me in the orgy that you guys forced me into and then blackmailed me about." And I'm like, thank you for reminding us, the audience, as to what your deal was. I don't really even know why they blackmailed you, because whatever. Anyway, I know what happens with that character, but we'll get there eventually. So that everybody just forget everything that's happened up until now. Just I say that because you're going to need to handle what is about to transpire.
I bet it'll be fine.
Yeah, I bet it's fine and normal and, like, makes sense for the rest of what we've been doing up until now.
Dandy's trying to woo Dot and Bet, and he comes in and he's like, I didn't know what you wanted, so I had the chefs make you everything, and it's like 10 things, you know, which is fine, okay, you know. And then he has...
Yeah, I think it's a pretty swag move, you know, sure. Especially if someone's come up kind of poor and you're just kind of like trying to show off of just like, look, this is the kind of stuff wealth can do. Like, it doesn't matter. Just whatever you want.
Right.
Like that, you know, it is like...
Yeah.
Yeah, well, your new life. Exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. Totally. This is going to start a very bizarre mini arc for Dandy that will only last for this episode of like him being a genuinely like, nice man, a nice rich boy who has found a girl. He has found girls, plural, I guess, that he's fallen in love with. And like, he is like authentically nice to them. Like, and so is Gloria. Like, they're like just authentically nice to the girls, nicer than anyone else has been to the girls, to be frank. And it's just like, yeah, I'll get you whatever you want. Like, and he's like very explicit later in the episode that like, I'm not trying to buy their affection. I just like them a lot and I want to make them happy. And he just forgets that he wanted to be a serial killer for this whole episode, basically, until like a different point.
Wait, you're right. You remember, yes, that's right. You're absolutely right. He is not trying to buy their affection. He doesn't pay for anything but gifts for them. Okay?
Yes.
Right? Let's just keep that all in mind. Just in case he buys them anything that's not for their affection that happens later or whatever. You know, just in case. Sorry.
Just in case.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But just in case, you know. So, like, they clearly are, you know, Dandy's in love with both of them. Mm-hmm. Bet is super in love with Dandy and Dot isn't. The show treats this very strangely, which, like, again, if they're two separate people with two separate personalities, yeah, honestly, it's probably weirder that Dandy's in love with both of them.
Yeah,
frankly,
right?
Like,
yeah.
That's probably more of the outlier than only one of them being into Dandy. Is this a complicated problem? Yes. Is that always going to be the case with the twins? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of intrinsic to the damn thing, huh?
Yeah.
And Dot, for whatever reason, and it's hard to read it as anything other than like obnoxious teenager jealousy, which like when you just got pulled out of a hospital where you were going to be charged for murdering your mother and being stabbed by your other half, and then you were pulled to a horse manure hay ground, you know, freak show,
right,
where you were being forced to put on display and all that and being disrespected constantly and weirdly by the owner who wanted you at all costs and then hated you for some strange fucking reason. Yeah, I'll be honest, even if Dot doesn't like Dandy and doesn't like the house, this still feels like a tremendous upgrade.
Yeah,
this still
yeah.
feels like it would be a solid 6 months before Dot would be like, okay, yeah, I'm bored, fuck this. Like, I feel like it would be at least a good amount of time of just like, yeah, let's see what being wealthy's all about.
Also, cannot overstate what I said earlier of they're not hostages. Like, they're adult women. They can just, like, leave. They don't know he's a murderer. They just know he's rich. So, like, they could just fuck off. Like, they could just walk out of the house. No one, there's no, like, there's no motivation or, like, overlying or underlying threat of, like, if we do this, we're in danger. They
right.
can just leave. They are free to go.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're supposed to assume that since Elsa sold them to the Mott family, that like there's some form of contract, but like why the fuck would the twins care?
Yeah,
like,
right.
They'd just be like, yeah, we don't want to be sold. Okay, bye.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you can't do that. All right, see ya.
Yeah, we don't get like a scene of them signing a contract to like Elsa or anything at any point, so it's not like they're contractually obligated to her. So like anything Elsa says, who gives a shit? Like just big deal, makes a jerk off motion with my hand. I don't give a fuck what Elsa said about me. You can't sell me. Also, yeah, like, the thing is, and this is the problem with it, why they didn't, they kind of dropped the ball with how they've decided to do conjoined twins with Sarah Paulson is because it is constantly oscillating between characters and us, the audience, seeing two people conjoined versus one lady with two heads, if that makes sense. They are being treated as both simultaneously almost all the time, which is a, there's like, that's not how they are, two separate characters. However, the show and characters in them, like Dandy, will treat them as one woman with two heads, because that's kind of what they've done with how they've designed the character from a aesthetic point of view. And it's like, okay, well, she is two people. They are two people. I say she, I mean, Sarah Paulson, is two characters who are both autonomous for the most part. And that is making a lot of things very complicated for everybody, including us, the audience. But yeah, Dot fully hates it, but like doesn't do anything really about it. And Bette loves it. And like Bette eats the caviar and is like, ooh, caviar, which I, like, honestly, I'm Bette in this circumstance. We're like, Dot's kind of like, ooh, don't eat that. It's slimy fish eggs. But she's like, I've never had the chance to eat caviar before. Like, hell yeah, Bette. Like, Bette's being given an opportunity that she would have never had before, and she wants to do it. Like, hell yeah. Fuck it up,
the
gamer.
The show definitely seems to lean to try and want us to think of Bette as, like, the kind of dumb, naive one who's, like, a little easy to trick, whereas like Dot's supposed to be like, you know, like the sharp investigator who's ready for everything. But the problem is, in every situation, it just means Dot fucking sucks. Like Dot is like a boring fuddy duddy who blows.
Yeah,
that's like, hell yeah, let me try them eggs, brother. That's my girl.
This will continue on for the rest of the episode to the point where at a certain point there will be a confrontation, and she being Dot is like needlessly hostile to Dandy, and like the show wants us to believe that like she's right, but like objectively she is incorrect and she's being an asshole for like kind of no reason. But the show will be like, no, that's because she's the smart one, see, she's got she's on the up and up, she knows what's going on. I'm like, but she's wrong.
Yeah, and she doesn't. It's just by luck. Yeah, like,
she's objectively incorrect about what's happening. Anyway, we'll get there. Yeah, so they're eating dinner at the Mott house, and Dot's bitching, as is usual, and Gloria's like, oh, is there anything you guys would like? And Dot's like, can we go back to the circus freak show and pick up our stuff? And Dandy and Gloria, in like not a malicious way, because I cannot overstate, Dandy and Gloria are not being weird and malicious to the twins. They are being pleasant and delightful. We, the audience, know that they're a weird, fucked up murder family. The twins don't. So like these are just like nice, rich people who are like being nice and rich in their presence without any ulterior motives. And they're being weird about it. And Dot is being weird about it. And they're like, no, we'll just buy you anything.
The worst real ulterior motive they could be aware of is like, oh, Dandy wants to like marry us and bang us or whatever. Yeah, like, it seems like Bette's like cool with that, though.
Yeah.
So like, skill gap.
Like, we'll find out later. Like, this is genuinely good for Dandy. Like, this is actively improving Dandy's life and making him not fucked up and evil. Parentheses real. So like, this is not just like, oh, Dandy got a new toy and he's like excited about it and like is just like, this is like a fleeting like, oh, this is a band-aid fix. Like, no, he's genuinely like, oh, love fixed me. Thank God that this has happened.
Yeah. This love is the meme of Anakin, of young Anakin Skywalker yelling, it's working, because it is, you know, like, hooray for Dandy. Like, we've done it. Like,
for one episode, Dandy is not a little freak. He's just got a little fella who's in love with his wives. But one of the wives doesn't want to be a part of it.
Frankly speaking, he's doing better than like the dads on Sister Wives. You know what I mean? Like, he's better than a weirdo Mormon husband right now. It's working. Yeah.
And so, basically, like, they're like, hey, we want to go get our stuff. Dandy and Gloria both are like, nah. We'll just go get you whatever you need. We'll get you a nicer version of it. Like, don't sweat it. We'll get you covered. They start having a little bit of weirdness about it. Then we cut to, I suppose the next day, in the morning, Dandy's reading to them an article about a successful Siamese twin separation, which...
awkward.
Dandy, why would you say... Yeah, Dandy, what the fuck are you doing, man? Like, hey, I just thought, you know, this one thing that would be, you know, like, intrinsically to your core awkward and uncomfortable to discuss. What do you think of that?
Like, it's like when your dog sees the reflection in the mirror and you, the owner, points at the mirror and go, that's you. Like, it's the same vibes, except for Dandy is, like, the owner and is, like, showing them the mirror, like, hey, this is you. Look at the article. You're also twins that are conjoined. And, like, Dot has, like, a daydream where she's like, oh, hell yeah. And she imagines being separated from Bet and then going back to Jimmy at the a diner. And in the, like, not flash forward, but, like, the fantasy, I guess.
Daydream.
Yeah, daydream. Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, hey, Dot. And she's like, I go by Dorothy now because I go by my full name now that half of me is gone. And I'm like, what the fuck does that mean? That's nothing. You just said nothing.
I think I would, that would be like me being like, yeah, I go by Kuh now because half me is dead. I'm no longer Mike. Like, what are you talking about?
I just go by Mai now.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy's like, yeah, I heard about that. You have my condolences. And I'm like, would you, like, realistically, I know this is her daydream, but we've seen before that people can get owned in their own daydreams, like Stanley. Like, if you knew, because he says he's aware of the surgery. I'm like, okay, so, like, if you knew that they elected to have a surgery and one of them died, like, would that... I don't know. I would be like, I wouldn't offer condolences because it'd be like, well, maybe you shouldn't have done that because there was like 100% chance for you specifically with the way you guys are conjoined. There's not like two bodies together to share. You have one. So like,
it's not like one of you is going to become like the frozen head of Ronald Reagan or something. Like, you're not going to be like Nixon's head in a jar. No shot.
Like, you guys went into that. It's not one of those, because that's what I was saying about, it's more like she's one woman with two heads, because the way she's conjoined is like, there is not two bodies. There's one body and there's two heads. Yeah. So there's not like a separation to be done. It's, you could cut off one of the heads and they die. That's about it. There's not much more you could do than that. Anyway, it's Paul time. And I know this. Paul's the main character of this episode. Congratulations,
so,
Paul.
Paul waltzes into the pharmacy and is like, "Hey, I need to buy that perfume that Peggy mentioned for like a second or two earlier for Penny, my girlfriend." And the clerk is just like, "We don't have any." And Paul's like, "Do you?" I'm looking, it's right there. And he goes, oh, I guess we do have this one.
Get out of here. Fuck you. That. Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry. Yeah, that's too, like...
It's really blatant and really stupid. And also, like, as opposed to the diner thing where, like, they kind of rolled in and made a scene, this is literally just Paul walking into the store and being like, hey, can I buy a pack of smokes? And the guy being like, fuck you and your smokes! Like, what
fuck you and your tattoos and your weird little arms. I'm not selling you these cigarettes. Like, all right, man,
I'm being
relax.
Discriminatory, sir, so get the hell out of here. Like,
it's the 50s. I'm going to discriminate against you. Get the fuck out of my store. But then, like, the pharmacist just kind of gets owned and is like, oh, yeah, I have it, I guess. Here you go. It's $1.50. And that starts a very bizarre and forced interaction. Like, literally, this is the most bizarre forced interaction that they could have possibly ham-fisted into this very bizarre episode. Because we needed a conflict, and right now there's not a conflict because they introduced
also,
a bunch of stuff.
They needed they needed to have a reason that the people at the freak show would know they were at the Mott household, which here's a list of them. So Dandy and Gloria were already there and bought out an entire night of the show. And clearly it was because they had interest in the twins, because it was like the day after the twins arrived. Okay, great. That's one way. Elsa knows. So they could just force Elsa to be so guilty that she just reveals the information. Yeah, I mean, those are two great ones. You know, but feel free to make up your own at home.
The twins are adult women who could call the freak show because they have phones, evidently.
On a phone?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also something that they could do because, you know, Dot is also an able-bodied person who can use a phone. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But no, they treat it like they're being held hostage, a la Saw, John Kramer, even though that's not what's happening.
So Dandy walks up and starts complaining that they only have one hairbrush in stock and he needs two because he has one woman with two heads that both need to brush their hair separately. And why won't he possibly think about this? And Paul goes, hey, wait a minute. Hey, wait, hold on. I know one human woman with two heads. That must be the twin. Okay. He doesn't say it directly, but he's buying two hair bands, two hair brushes, like two of everything in the most obvious way possible. Paul goes, hey, wait, I know you. Aren't you that guy who bought out the whole freak show? And then Danny's like, yeah, it was dog shit. It was bad. And Paul's like, you're buying two of everything. You have the twins. And Danny just like drops shit all over the floor and like tries to shuffle it away. And he's like, oh, no.
Which, like, why? Why would he hide this information? He didn't kidnap them. They're not kidnapped and being held hostage. They just live with him.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't stolen. This isn't Stanley's weird plot to steal and murder freaks. Like, this, he's just got a girlfriend with two heads, as far as he's concerned. Anyway, Dandy throws a temper tantrum and gets Paul kicked out of the pharmacy by the pharmacist. Because the pharmacist was already looking for a reason to kick him out. And he's like, sir, is this guy bothering you? And Dandy's like, he is. Make him leave. And he does.
Thank you for enabling my discrimination, friend.
Yeah, he's like, oh, hell yeah. and then Paul says, I'm going to Woolworth's. They have ice cream. And I'm like, hell yeah, brother. Yeah, based. Maybe you should have started at Woolworth's. I would have started there if there was ice cream.
This place is overpriced. Woolworth's has ice cream. Yeah, go there.
Yeah, I would have started there because it sounds way cooler. Then it just hard cuts to nighttime after one of the shows. And I guess people are still coming to the shows even after we saved the town or whatever. Which is weird because everyone fucking hated Elsa singing. So I don't know why they would keep showing up. But allegedly they are. And Jimmy says, oh, we had a few less people than usual. Which I'm like, how much time has elapsed in between last episode and this one? And Paul says, yeah, no, people were only coming because of the twins, which citation fucking
what?
Needed. I don't think the twins did anything, actually. The twins were kind of like a wet fart that did nothing for the freak show. No one actually came to see them except for Dandy and Gloria. So that's not true.
They weren't good at anything.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything.
No, they're terrible. Yeah.
They sang one time and it made Elsa so mad she peed her pants. So that was like the only time they did anything. And that's not even what they were there to do. They were just there to be conjoined twins. So
mm-hmm.
It's all up from here, baby. But somehow Paul makes the conclusion that Elsa sold the twins to the Motts.
Sure.
Like the jump in logic is not that he figured out that the Motts have the twins, because like we described a minute ago, it was comical how obvious they made it that obviously the twins are with Dandy.
Yeah.
The jump in logic is, I bet Elsa did this. I bet the woman I'm having sex with, and we've been shown now in this episode explicitly to be deeply connected to, I bet she sold the twins. That seems like something that she would do, I guess. And Jimmy, the man who's not fucking Elsa, slaps Paul in the face and is like, Elsa is a goddamn saint. She would never do that. And I'm like, well, you're like the one person who wouldn't say this.
Yeah, exactly. This is totally wrong. This is actually, they should be opposite character. You know what I mean? Like, there's not really, because you could even have that scene with Jimmy, you know? Like, yeah. The guy would discriminate. Well, I mean, yeah, so.
I mean, not to be rude, I don't think Paul would deliver a particularly great slap.
Yeah.
So there's that.
All right.
That's but, true.
But yeah, Jimmy shouldn't be the one who's like, how dare you say that about Miss Elsa? He should just be like, oh yeah, probably, good point, yeah.
I mean, honestly, yeah. If we were staying really true to character, this would be the point of the episode where Jimmy brings up how much of a hero Meep is. And how sad he is that Meep died. But he doesn't. He keeps it in. He doesn't mention Meep once this episode. And they have this really weird face off, and then Paul storms off like, I'm pretty sure Elsa did it. And I'm like, why? Okay, you're like the one character, they've done one thing this episode, and that's established that you have a weird like connection to Elsa no one else does.
You would have Elsa's back for no discernible reason.
Yeah, if right. anything, this episode set you up to be like the Elsa defender, not like the Elsa interrogator. I don't know. They've really chosen a bizarre set of paths to follow. But we're back at the Mott house now, and the girls are reading again about those same conjoined twins, who were just surgically, they were like babies, by the way, the babies got separated and one of them died.
And they were attached by the top of the skull.
Yeah.
Like as in like the top of one's head was attached to the top of another's head. So like they both had a full body.
Yeah.
Just to be clear,
yeah.
Like it's the exact. It is as far away from Dot and Bette's situation
yeah.
as like you possibly could be.
Yeah,
you
know?
Exactly. And it's, yeah,
it's not like, again, cannot overstate. There is not. There just isn't a reality where Dot and Bette can be separated. Like, and any
also Dot and Bette at some level have the best case possible as far as like survivability and ability to just live their goddamn lives. Like they both have. Whole body, like it's dude. Awkward for sure, but compare that again to attached at the top of the skull, right? So like neither of them was gonna get to have a good life. They were gonna be like in just the strangest positions at all times. It was gonna be horrible. So like it really shows, if anything, how like maybe Dot and Bette should shut the fuck up.
Yeah. Like, and again,
you know,
yeah. It's one of those things where like if they go through with a separation of any kind, that like it is obvious to everybody else around them that like there is no way they wouldn't know that one of them was gonna die, and whichever one like survived, there would be some level of like suspicion, you know what I mean, like of like, oh, you knew that. Also like, how would yeah. Dot like be able to tell the surgeon, make sure I'm the one who lives?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Make sure you make sure I don't die specifically. Yeah. Whatever.
Like when she was having the whole "I'm so talented, everybody loves me" fantasy, then it was like, okay, you play the fame card, and that's how you do it. But if anything, now the fantasy they're having is, oh, Dandy could pay for this. Like Dandy is functionally unlimited money. Dandy's gonna pick the one he likes. Which is bad.
Right?
Not Dot.
Yeah.
Yo, good
so
point.
So if Dot was trying to play this card, Dot should be, if anything, being annoying with how much she has affection for Dandy to make sure that when that finish line comes, she's the one who decides. But that would, again, require them to, like, write the story good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, but like, on top of all of that, not only is, like, Dot just straight up not acting the like the correct way for the circumstance, but also like they make it so that Dot's only motivation is like, ah, oh, well now I've got to, now I have to make sure Dandy pays for our surgery. And I'm like, he does. Yeah. Without sounding insensitive, he doesn't want a lady. Like the whole reason he says, like later in the episode, he's like, the reason why I love them so much and why I feel so like safe with them is because I don't feel like a freak around them. Like not in a derogatory way, but like he's like they're like me, because he views himself as a freak for being
right.
a weird little serial killer man. And he's like, when I'm with them, I don't feel like a freak. So like Dandy wouldn't And he never like gives that information either. He's never like, yeah, one day I'll pay for it. Like, he never even like leads them on. Like, he is just being nice.
I feel like there's like missing parts to this too, where it's like, this is stuff that even would make sense for Dot and Bette to miss, being that they've been recluse their whole life. But like, you kind of need one of them to say something like that. Like, I wonder if though, would he want us to be like separate? Like, of course he would. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of thing, because like otherwise it just feels like glaring omissions in the script, which we're very used to. So, you know, Occam's razor and all. But
yeah, and they have like, they in this scene they have a really bizarre conflict between the two twins, which is I think their way of like trying to close plot holes, but they actually don't. They just make it really confusing of being like, yeah, like they have a misunderstanding between them. I don't even remember exactly what it is, but there's a misunderstanding between them. And then like the implications, like they don't just have access to each other's minds. And even Dandy says something to the effect of like, oh, you know, Dot keeps her diary locked and Bette doesn't. And Dot's like, yeah, we have an agreement to not read each other's diaries. And I'm like, you can witness each other's dreams while the other one's awake. Is this something you can control now? Is this a thing that you just can do like at will? You can just like shut each other out and vice versa? Because that seems bad story-wise that one of them can just be like, la, 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 I'm not listening when the other one's trying to telepathically communicate. They're like, I think trying to establish that like, oh, well, the twins don't know all of the other one's thoughts. And it's like, well, you kind of have established that they do in like a fucked up way where they could even see like each other's dreams.
I feel like it should be clearer because maybe they were trying to go for like, hey, listen, like they have an agreement not to during diary time. You know what I mean? Like they can, but this is a thing. But they don't say any of this stuff. So you're just kind of left with like, so they forgot, right? And it's like, yeah, they forgot probably, you know?
Like, yeah. Because like the motivation here in this scene is Dandy is like, oh, you know, Bette's like really open and like you like secrets, Dot, don't you? Because like you keep your diary locked. Well, I'll tell you a secret and then you can tell me a secret. Because he's like, he just wants Dot to like him. Like, genuinely, Dandy just wants Dot to like him the way that Bette likes him. Like, he's not, like, being weird. He just really wants her to like him. And for some reason, she just doesn't, because I guess she still loves Jimmy or whatever. And at that point, like, he's going to tell a secret, which we'll get to in a second because it's going to piss me off. But, and then Dot's just like, nope, I'm not going to tell you my secret. And first of all, I don't know what the fuck her secret is supposed to be, because she's like, I'm not going to tell you it, instead of just saying, like, I don't have one. Right. She's like, I'm not going to tell you it, which I guess her secret's that she's using him for his money, which makes sense why she wouldn't tell him that, I guess. But like, even Bette says telepathically to Dot, just tell him something. Like, just make something up. Like, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, this is like very much a case of like he did a stupid annoying thing people do where they're just like, "See, we made a deal." And you're like, "I never said anything. Right, I never made any deal. What are you talking about?" But like, yeah, at that point if it's like this, yeah, just make something up. Be like, "Yeah, sometimes I pee in the shower and I forget that she notices." Ha ha. Like whatever. Like some make up some shit.
I secretly always wanted a rich husband. I'm so shallow. Anyway.
Yeah. Or like she could have even made it like a little bit convincing, been like, you know, like, "Oh, I get really self-conscious if I have to sing at the circus or whatever. Like I have a lot of stage fright or something." Like she could have made up something. Yeah. But going back to Dandy's secret, so Dandy's like, okay, I'm going to tell you my secret. Do you remember when there was a scary serial killer clown? Well, I was there and I killed him, which is a lie. To be clear, that is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And Dot goes, no, Jimmy killed him. Jimmy was the hero. And then Dandy's like, well, no, he was there, but he was unconscious in the bus, which is true. That is correct. Jimmy was in the bus unconscious during the time that Twisty died. Jimmy, again, the show is going to have you believe that Dot is correct and that Jimmy killed Twisty. Jimmy didn't. He was unconscious in
Edward
the bus.
Edward Mordrake killed.
Yes.
Right.
Edward Mordrake killed Twisty.
Yes.
Just a reminder. Yeah, it was the ghost. It was the exposition ghost is who killed Twisty. Yes. No one else. A lot of people are going to go around taking credit for killing Twisty, and we're supposed to believe that someone's lying. They're all lying. It was a fucking ghost.
Yes.
A fucking ghost did it. Just for a fucking ghost did it. Sorry. I'm thinking about Twisty being removed from the show by a fucking ghost and getting more angry again.
If you really, really
I got it. I'm with you.
If you really wanted to split hairs, if anyone was responsible for him dying, it would be Dandy because he did his little like magic show. Well, Edward Mordrake was around and he's like, I hear a fucking music box. And then he ended up wandering over there and finding Twisty. But Dandy did not physically kill Twisty the clown. But the next like 30 seconds is like Dot going apeshit bonkers bananas because he quote unquote lied about Jimmy being the hero. And I'm like,
He didn't.
Yeah. He's telling the truth. Jimmy was unconscious in the bus when Twisty died. Like, he didn't. The town thinks Jimmy did, but, like, he didn't, though. And, like, Dandy gets upset because he's like, I'm not lying. This isn't fun anymore. I'm not lying. And she's like, I don't believe you. You're falsely. Yeah. I'm like, but Dandy's right, though. Like, he lied about being the one who killed Twisty, but, like, not any more than Jimmy did, like they both
right,
did.
Yeah.
Neither of them are right. It's yeah.
I guess the closest, to be fair, is that like maybe Jimmy doesn't know Edward Mordrake did it, so he just, which is silly too, as I'm saying it, just like,
or like Jimmy has repeatedly been like, I didn't do it. I was not the one who did it. And they're like, shut the fuck up and say you did it. And he's like, okay, fine.
That
is kind of where Jimmy came down on it. But like, that doesn't mean it's, like, any better for Dot to, like, insist that's the truth. Yeah.
Well, also, now that you mention that, when Maggie and Jimmy go back to the freak show after the Twisty incident, Elsa's like, we had a fucking ghost here last night. And he's like, yeah, I know, that's who killed Twisty. So, like, the people in the freak show,
no,
Jimmy didn't kill Twisty the clown. So I don't know what the fuck Dot's problem is. I don't know why she's tilted about Jimmy, because like Jimmy didn't do anything. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about, Dot.
This is why no one likes Dot.
Yeah.
Or Bet. Yeah, sure. I at least forget.
I mean, hey, let's be real. Yeah. Bet's like a. Bet can hang out. Bet's cool. I'll pass Bet the blunt. Dot. Get out of my circle, little lady. You're gonna have to turn 90 degrees because Bet can be in the circle and you fucking can't.
Yeah. I'm doing the like the classic sitcom thing of like putting the big line of tape down the middle of the two of you, and I'm only gonna talk to Bet.
This one can smoke weed. The other one can't. She'll like get in her head and get mad.
And then she's gonna get in Bet's head and it's gonna suck.
Oh God, yeah. Okay, never mind. They're never allowed to do drugs. It's already
it's
too confusing in here.
Really?
Yeah.
Terrible.
Regrettably, that is about the halfway point of the episode of television. Would you believe me if I told you that more absolutely fucking insane shit happens in the second half that's even weirder and more bizarre than the first half of the episode?
You.
Good.
I would never disbelieve that. Yeah.
Would you believe me if I very specifically said them taking Ma Petite dressed up as a crochet hot water bottle who they had sitting in the cuck chair while they did a secret quote unquote romance and then were like, bring me that weird little baby. If that was not the worst thing they were going to do to Ma Petite this episode and the weirdest baby-like response they were going to force this poor woman to portray on screen, because they have her just be so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. Like, Man, they really forgot. They were like, this is just a baby, right?
Yeah. It's a really cool baby. Do they think that's like the angle, is that it's just a really cool baby who can talk like Boss Baby? They're like,
oh,
that's
God.
What makes her cool, is she's a talking baby.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. They must have treated her like that on set. Like, I know they couldn't have, but they must have, because they're such so stupid. I hate them.
I hope Ma Petite has a really good union. I really hope Ma Petite has like a based ass union at her back.
Me too. God. The second half of this episode is going to be something.
Yeah. Look forward to it, everybody. We're going to get the resolution of why we brought the fucking knife wheel. Ma Petite's going to be even more
awfully treated. Stanley is gonna. It's gonna be confusing why everyone respects Stanley. Everyone treats Stanley like he's like a 7 foot five, like 400 pound man. He's not.
Yeah, like, it's weird. It's totally weird.
Yeah,
I could beat him up.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, oh god, yeah. Question, if you had sticks, free.
But he's got a massive hog. Don't forget, we learned that in one episode that he has a massive fucking hog. So that's, and, I guess, important.
He might like be like a boss fight who like keeps dropping like porno mags around that you have to. Or, you know what I mean? Like all that's the only.
And he
thing,
regains
but,
health,
you know.
Every time he picks one up. Yes. He regains health. That sucks.
Yeah.
Or yeah, he drops them on it, and if you accidentally step on one, it like explodes.
That's yeah, yeah, or you that slip sucks. Or something. Yeah,
no, exactly. My copy of Beefcake Magazine, terrible. And then you just take AOE damage. That sucks.
Oh fuck! Beefcake Magazine is set play. Well, till next time, everybody. Look forward to that. I can't wait. It's gonna be a good time. Take easy, everybody.
So long.